I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to answer some of your gardening queries. Later on, I'll be joined by Steve McCurdy, Managing Director of Majestic Trees, one of our top large tree growers in this country. Our thanks to Thompson & Morgan, sponsors of this podcast. Who was it speaking about drought a few weeks ago? Boy, we've had a lovely rain this week. I just hope it knows when to stop. But I could have done without that rough wind. Oh, goodness. Laid several of my delphiniums low. I cursed that. But last weekend in Devon for a funeral. What a beautiful county that is. Goodness. Those narrow roads with the trees right over the top and chocolate box villages pretty well everywhere you went as I drove from Exeter to Sidmouth. Devon in June, well worth a day or two just to enjoy our beautiful countryside. I was one of the judges at the Chelsea Flower Show for new products, and Agrilan have a weed-suppressing mulch made from recycled plastic bottles. And that looked to me to be quite interesting. The best thing about it was that when you pour water onto this quite thick piece of woven matting, the water ran straight through. I bought some weed-suppressing mulch from a garden centre recently, and that was totally waterproof. I don't know how the manufacturer thought the rain was going to get through to the plants, but certainly the Agrilan mulch doesn't have that problem. And also the second prize in that competition was the hip trug from Bergen and Ball. Now, I've just started to pick raspberries, he says, bragging a bit, and that little hip trug is very useful. It's just like a little plastic pocket that fits on your waist belt, and it means you can pick soft fruit with two hands and just drop it into the truck. As it happens, my raspberry is the new compact growing Ruby Beauty, I think it's called, from Thompson & Morgan, and a very nice raspberry it is too. If you're thinking, oh, that's a bit early to be picking raspberries, well, yes, mine were under polythene, and it will be another week or 10 days, I would think, before we start picking anything outside. The other new product that I thought was interesting came from Bosch, and it's a small, one-handed, battery-driven chainsaw, if you could imagine such a thing. And the cutting chainsaw will just be 2 or 3 inches long. A really unusual, innovative thing. One would need to be careful, I think, how you use that, because, boy, it went through wood a bit quick. But there were one or two words of advice, too, that we need to give you, especially after this very hot weather, and that's on glass houses or cold frames. If you've got anything like that with plants growing inside, essential that you paint the glass with some form of shading. I've usually recommended cool glass, all one word, C-O-O-L-G-L-A-S-S. It's white, and the best thing about it is that you paint it on, it sticks on the glass, and then in September when you need to take the shading off, you just get a piece of cloth and you can just polish it off and it leaves the glass perfectly clean again. Sometimes you'll see people recommending putting up green shading in a greenhouse. Now, that's not very good advice at all. If you have that, quite honestly, it increases the heat. The beauty of the white cool glass and other white shading materials is it reflects light and so reduces the heat within the greenhouse.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm very pleased to introduce you today to somebody I hold in very high esteem, Mr. Steve McCurdy. Steve, how are you today?
I'm really good, thanks, Peter.
Now, I wonder, could we, Steve, take you right back to the beginning? Lots of people wonder how you get into this industry and make the kind of success you have. So how did you start?
Well, truthfully, it was a combination of my grandmother, who was an avid horticulturalist. She was a farmer's wife. Anything she wanted to grow, whether it was vegetables, dahlias, you know, fruit orchards, vegetables, a lot. She just grew them brilliantly. I used to spend 8-10 weeks a year with her, so she got me really into it. Then I used to also watch Gardener's World, of course, and see none other but Mr. Peter Seabrook in those days on there. So there's lots of people inspired me in my early days to get into horticulture. And when I came to the end of leaving school, I had a choice whether I was going to continue on, do A-levels and do architecture, or go into horticulture. And the truth of the matter is I got more and more inspired by horticulture. And I'm really grateful now I made that decision, because it's been a good 40 years since then.
And that architectural interest, it shows, doesn't it, really? You know, with the buildings you've got on the nursery, you obviously had a talent in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, I did like engineering drawing when I was doing all levels in those days, of course. But I do have fun designing buildings, nursery, etc., get my drawing board out and doing it. But I wouldn't say I'm an expert in that area, just as a, you know, serious interest.
And so what was your first job then?
My first job was at Thomas Rochford and Sons. I don't know if you remember them, Peter.
I remember them very well. What a fantastic firm that was.
Yeah. It was a fantastic houseplant nursery who were, I think, fourth generation. Unfortunately, the fourth generation didn't have the interest that the previous three generations had. But at the time I went there in 1976, there was 400 employees there working on this nursery. And it was absolutely fantastic. Old man Rochford and his wife were just so passionate about what they did. And it was quite infectious. I remember the first time I went to Chelsea Flower Show in 1977. Mrs. Rochford was there. They set up a huge display. And a whole bunch of us apprentices were all in there helping, you know, unload the trucks and place the trees as she directed us. And it was very inspiring.
I mean, they had those St. Paulias, I remember, bigger than dinner plates, with the leaves all arranged as a doily, and then a great mound of flowers. Jock Davidson was involved there, wasn't he?
That's right.
Yeah.
Jock Davidson was really head of shows, but Mrs. Rochford was a landscape architect. She used to design these stands. Those big African violets were three plants grown together, and they just kept teasing the leaves out, cutting out leaves, and they just make, I mean, it was incredible. The miniature cyclamen, remember those, Peter, where you get like 60, 80 blooms above the foliage and there's still loads of bud behind it?
Yeah, beautiful.
It was incredible.
And a tremendous skill. And so after Rochford's, then, how many years do you do with them?
I did a three-year apprenticeship with them, and then I was honored they picked me. I was just one of the lucky two that got to go to America that year. And we went to California, of all places. We didn't learn such about how to grow things, but we got an inspiration about what was possible in horticulture. I think that was the biggest thing we got from being in America.
And I think it was the same for me. In 1976, I went over to the American Association of Nurserymen. And boy, when I went onto some of those really big nurseries, it opened my eyes to what was possible. The Americans can have a go, can't they?
Yeah. After 2 years, I came back to England. And I'd met my wife when I was over there, with the lady who would become my wife in the future. But I went back to Rochford's, and I went into the sales division of Rochford's, going around all the different garden centres, florists, you name it, all over the southeast and through Oxfordshire of England, that a territory I was given. And it was a really fun period selling Rochford's houseplants.
And don't you think all of us in life should spend a year selling? It's a pretty tough business, Steve, isn't it?
It can be, yeah. If you have a really good product like I did, it's made it a lot easier. And a good reputation is always, makes it a lot easier for a salesperson because they can believe what they're selling.
Yeah.
And we were a little bit of a premium over the Dutch and the Danes at the time, but people, by and large, were willing to pay a little bit more for a better product.
How long before you set off on your own?
Well, I got married in 1982 and went to the States.
The English language, if you speak with an English accent, helps a little bit, doesn't it, in America?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no question. I mean, I captured the vision that you could do anything, which is what Americans always believe, sometimes to their detriment. But in general, it makes you have a go at anything.
Yeah.
And so when I started my company, originally I called it British Indoor Gardens, and it worked a treat around Beverly Hills, that market. And you're absolutely right. They love British accents, British service, British gardeners, your Chelsea Flower Show, etc. They think that we really got it sorted. So it was a fairly easy to get work because I had the credentials and been fortunate enough to have good training. And so I went on and started, the company. And after a few years, I decided to enter this awards competition for the whole United States. And I got basically what was equal to a silver. And I thought, and I had to fly to Houston, Texas for the awards banquet. And I thought, well, maybe I'm quite good at this. Maybe I should stick at it. So,
I think you were quite good at it, yes.
So I did it for another 16 and a half years. And the team that we built together was really what made it successful. And we won a total of 94 national and statewide awards over the 16 and a half years together.
So why come back then, Steve?
I started thinking about the idea. I did miss England. I'd also moved into large landscape projects. I did the Regent Beverly Wilshire Hotel, which you may know, and I'd done the exterior as well as interior on that, and things like that have been done over the years. And so I decided to come back to England because I felt there was an opportunity for big trees, etc., in landscape projects. And so we decided to come back in July 2000. My wife, a couple of years before thought it was bonkers, but she decided in the end it was a good idea. And so I came back, and I thought I'd do interior landscaping because that's what I really knew. But we decided that we'd go into growing big specimen trees. And so I had to start from scratch. Though this time, of course, I had a bit of money behind me because I'd sold the business in the States. And we had to learn how to grow big trees.
I mean, you were pioneering in UK terms. I mean, the big trees we accept to some extent now. But it's all a relatively new business, isn't it?
I remember when the first day we opened in May 2001, we had to build for about a year or so. And some of the major players in this country all came along to have a look to see what was up. And they thought it was pretty crazy, really. And at that time, I luckily had trees that were 9, 10 meters tall. And they thought I was a bit crazy on speculation to do such big trees. They would potentially buy that type of stock and grow it on in containers for people if they want to give them an order, but not on speculation. And about 2 years later, we went to trees up to 12 meters tall, 12, 13 meters tall, in fact, in up to 5,000 liter pots. And my team thought it was bonkers when we went to them. But the amazing thing is they did sell and do continue to sell to this day. So no longer do people think we're bonkers. They think there was a market for it. Though it's definitely a very challenging market because the size of specimens you're moving.
Can we give our listeners some indication of just how big some of those trees that you handle now are?
Well, I mean, we got trees on the nursery, as I said, up to 13 meters tall in a 5,000 liter pot. And once you untie them, they'll likely be about 6 meters wide, the biggest ones. So they're not as wide as they've been if they hadn't been pruned, but you have to keep it pruned. You want a full tree anyway, good strong structure. But once it's planted in the ground, and it doesn't look unnatural at 6 meters wide, but it is, a very strong, full tree. And then within a few years, it'll fill out and be a lovely tree. They're challenging to move, but you have to have the right equipment to handle them and the experience, obviously, to move and lay down that tree, tie it up, and then load it in the truck and then reverse the whole process, getting out without damaging it.
To put this in what I call old money, I mean, we're talking about 20 foot across in terms of branches, and these 5,000 liter pots, what would they weigh?
The heaviest ones were like 6 tons.
So you've got one tree that's 20 foot wide that weighs up to 6 tons, and then you've got to pick that up and put it in a hole and plant it.
Yeah, that's the biggest ones. We've got trees start at 80 litre, so we go all the way up. There's an awful lot we sell in the 1,000 to 3,000 litre mark. That's our biggest, you know, in the big specimens.
Yeah.
Probably 1 to 3,000, but we do have the big stuff, especially cedars, and up to 5,000 litre. And we've had people buy as many as 4 or even 6 of these big cedars, so it's not like it's just an odd customer buys one.
And then back on the nursery, you've got a very good demonstration area, haven't you, showing how they're watered, how they're anchored, how you move them, all that kinds of thing. Is that open to customers? I mean, can
Oh, yeah. That's what it's for, so customers can appreciate and understand how you anchor or support a tree that size. The trees in demonstration garden, not the biggest trees, but there's trees that are, you know, 50, 60 centimeter girth. I think the biggest one up there will be. So it gives an indication of what, you know, how to secure a tree that size. So a lot of people don't know how to. I mean, it's one of our biggest parts about what we do is delivery to tree pit, because a lot of landscape contractors don't have the equipment, may not want to have the risk of offloading and placing that size tree themselves, and so they'll ask us if we'll do a complete delivery to their tree pit. And that's become quite a good part of the business.
Yeah, so I mean, on some occasions you'll have to crane them over a roof or something, will you?
Oh, yeah, and we'll crane the equipment over the roof too sometimes. You get into London gardens, I mean, they want a big tree at the back end of it. The train can't reach that far. So we'll crane the equipment over first, then crane the trees over, and then the equipment will move the trees down the garden and plant them. And we'll be taking the muck away in dumpy bags over the house all day long. And it's quite amazing what you can do.
Now, you have a young lady, Fran, who I saw driving one of those forklifts with big trees on. I mean, she was like a ballet dancer with those trees. They just sort of danced about. And she handles a lot of the transport, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's a logistics manager. And she's in charge of all the trucks. She's got Arctic licenses, license for the crane. She's got licenses even I don't have with equipment. And she's worked here about 9-10 years total. So she's very much an important part of the team, as many other people that work here are. I mean, whether it's sales is headed up by Sarah, who's been here 12 years, and she's third-generation nursery woman. And Carlos, who's nursery manager, my nursery team, both of them have got masters in horticulture, which is unusual in our industry, but they're both very good at running the nursery end of things. And So we're very fortunate to have such a strong team.
We'll have a picture of Fran moving one of those big trees on the nursery on our website, sungardening.co.uk. And the joy of coming into your place, apart from seeing everything done so well, all the buildings done so well. You know, if I want to check a set of premises and to see how well it's run, you go into the lavatory. And if the lavatory's clean, you can bet your life the place is managed. Why do you laugh, Steve? Isn't that right? You've got to worry about detail, haven't you?
Well, detail's everything, isn't it? Especially in how our customers we deal with. They want to. I mean, I loved that many years ago. My wife wouldn't let me put sign my trucks in the States. They were just white, to be honest with you. And finally she said, okay, you can spend the money on sign writing the trucks. And I used to have people calling me and said, your trucks are so clean. And she said, you must be very detailed. We must have you come and landscape our garden. And, you know, those type of little things to certain people especially are important.
Now, I understand you're moving some big trees. You had some big ones at Chelsea, but you're moving some big ones up to Birmingham or Chatsworth?
RHS Chatsworth is a brand new show that starts next week, I think on Tuesday or Wednesday. It goes through Sunday. And it's a new show for RHS at the big estate. And they've got the largest show garden, I think, or one of the largest show gardens ever built. It's 45 metres long. And Jo Thompson's doing it, and she selected these big specimen trees. And we sent 3 big truckloads, Arctic, Ridge and Drag, all sorts of stuff up there about 10 days ago with these big trees to place them all in the garden. And they've been building it ever since. I know they're planting it up now, all the small plants. The hardscape is done. They're just finishing the job.
Steve, it's absolute joy visiting your nursery. I hope to pop in soon. Can you give us some indication, if somebody wants to buy a really good tree, where are you and how do they find you?
We're at Junction 9 of the M1, which is just between Hemel Hempstead and Luton. So it's very easy to find. You just come off, go towards Dunstable, and we're the next turn on the left. And you can see it's on the A5. You can see all the trees along the A5. It's 20 acres of big containerized trees.
Steve, I look forward to seeing you on your home ground fairly soon. Thanks very much for your help at Chelsea last week. I certainly look forward to a nice gentle visit to majestic trees.
Thank you very much.
Well, Steve has already mentioned the Chatsworth RHS Flower Show, a brand new event. I hope and pray that those single lane roads cope with the traffic. Could be quite busy up there. I'm not sure whether or not I can make it. I hope I can. But one thing I am going to do on Saturday, I'm going to the Capel Manor College, where they have their annual Mayor's Day. All the mayors from London are invited to look round the college gardens, and they usually look pretty good. And I think it will be rather special because the principal there, Professor Steve Dowbiggin, is going to retire after about 30 years, I think. Boy, that'll be a bit of a wrench for him. He's done a fantastic job there, and they have quite a reputation. Thousands of students are taught the basics of horticulture and sent off into the industry. And really, Chelsea I like because you pick up all kinds of stories. You know, the enormous exhibit right in the centre of the pavilion is always built by the Hillier family. And John Hillier, I think he can give me a year or two, so he's well in his 80s, was telling me that the first time he went to the show, he was a 13 or 14 year old, and his dad, a very well-known nurseryman, had to speak to the headmaster to get a day off so that John could go to Chelsea. And when they got there, of course, exhibitors go straight in. They don't have to queue. And as they walked past the queue, his headmaster was standing in the queue. And all those years later, that's what John really remembers, how he did one on his headmaster on the way into Chelsea. But you get all kinds of horticultural tips and bits of information too. The Blackmore and Langdon boys from Bristol, boy, they can grow some beautiful delphiniums and begonias. And I don't think I've seen them show better delphiniums, and I've seen them for a good many years at a good many shows. And when I asked, you know, boy, they look good, they said yes. When we lifted the pots to take them into the greenhouse last February, they were so frozen that they couldn't pull weeds out the top. And that, of course, is the key to growing really good, or forcing really good, herbaceous flowers for shows. Peonies are much the same. If they have a really good freezing and then go into the greenhouse and a bit of warmth, boy, it's as if somebody's set fire underneath them. They just rocket into growth. And they were some absolutely stunning delphiniums. There were some great plants at the Chelsea show, but those delphiniums I shall remember for a good time yet. Thanks again to our sponsors, Thompson and Morgan. And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next Thursday.